This is Metro Talk. Coming up on Metro Talk right now, we're going to get into politics. It's time for our first Sunday political debate, and they are here, believe me, in fine style this morning. We have none other than Jim Pomeroy, Republican.
Good morning, Jerry.
We'd like to do something different. We'd like a little applause for the guest, please. The Democrat didn't call it. I don't know. We have Libertarian Steve Wilson.
Good morning.
Good morning. And we also have in the left corner here, Emily Leffler, Independent.
Good morning, Jerry.
And we have Patrice McKinney, Democrat.
Good morning, Jerry.
You should see the way Jim Pomeroy applauded, honestly. Like, you know.
Very sarcastic.
I like golf applause.
Like you were in church or something.
Where's your yo-yo ma?
Eric Mickelson, Green Party. Now that we've wasted everybody's time in Radio Land, let's get to the issues of the day with the political roundtable. Our telephone number 301-230-0980, pound 980 in the Verizon Wireless System. That's 301-230-0980, pound 980 in the Verizon Wireless System. My line's open, and if you feel like getting your guts up this morning, give us a call because we have a lot to talk about. State of the Union speech last week. How much will President Bush achieve from the State of the Union goals when he comes to Social Security, Iraq, health care, jobs, etc.? Let's start with Social Security. I don't want to beat the horse on Social Security because we've been doing this for so long, but how much will he achieve on this? And I'll start with my man, Eric Mickelson.
Well, Jerry, I think it's hard to say. Again, the privatization of Social Security is something that's raising a lot of eyebrows. The AARP, one of the biggest lobbying organizations in the country, is not particularly happy with George Bush's plans. And I think there are a lot of holes in the plans that he proposes and a lot of questions that need to be answered before this can even really be discussed thoroughly.
Steve Wilson.
I haven't seen a whole lot of details on what W really wants to accomplish with this privatization other than just saying, well, we want to have people to be able to have their own accounts. There's not enough details coming out as far as, but, you know, he's a politician. Politicians and details don't go together.
He's even come up with a different terms now. What, personal accounts now?
Yeah.
What, private accounts? Now it's personal accounts. Before I go to anybody, let me go to Emily Leffler, Independent.
Well, Jerry, the president has talked a lot about the problems with Social Security, and he has talked a lot about his proposal, but he has yet to connect the dots on how his proposal is actually going to, quote-unquote, fix Social Security and not actually just do away with the promise of the government.
Patrice?
Well, Jerry, the numbers just don't add up. Again, we've got a president creating a false crisis. I'd like to see him clean up some of the messes he's already made in the last administration before he starts to create another one by undermining our most successful social program in the country.
John Pomeroy, you got the last word on this one.
Oh, well, you know, President Clinton and other presidents have talked about reforming Social Security, and President Bush intends to do it.
Okay. President Bush looks pretty good this week. You've had successful elections in Iraq a week ago today. In addition to that, he's raising some ears on Social Security, but his domestic programs, some people are buying into, they say. He looks pretty good, much better than what, before the election or after the election. Would you agree with that, Steve?
He does look a little bit better. I mean, the press is, for some reason, backing off on him. They're not holding him accountable for what it is that he's trying to do, and they're just not asking enough questions.
Jim Bomley, what about that?
Well, as the president said, we had an accountability moment, and it was the election. I think the press is backing off a little because they realize the American people didn't agree with the media. They agree with President Bush.
Oh, my goodness, yes. And what about that mandate, Eric?
Well, you know, Jerry, I think one of the interesting things is that if you look at the president's approval ratings, right now they're hovering at around 50% or lower, which is the lowest or among the lowest for a second-term president. So I think, you know, to say that, well, there's a lot of approval, there's a lot of support for his agenda, I think that's a questionable statement.
Yeah, and, Jerry, things haven't changed. I mean, we're looking at a $427 billion deficit just this year. You know, the economy is not improving significantly. We still have a big mess in Iraq. Homeland Security Department still isn't functioning well. And now we're looking at messing up the Social Security system. I don't think the president's looking great at all.
Talk is cheap, Jerry. I mean, the State of the Union was full of half-truths, and I think whether the people continue to stand behind the president is going to matter It's going to depend on whether the Democrats can come out and explain what else is out there. It's going to depend on whether they can explain what is missing and what the big holes are in his proposals.
Oh, yeah. I mean, how can you call it a mandate when it was basically the election came down to John Kerry didn't have the personality to be able to get elected?
Well, then why did the Democrats
had a very boring
nominate.
Candidate?
Hold on. The Democrats nominated John Kerry. They didn't, and this is what's amusing about John Kerry wanting to run for president 4 years. The only reason the Democrats nominated him was they looked around the room, and the most electable guy they had was John Kerry. So they figured even if they didn't agree with him on everything, they'd take John Kerry because he was electable. George Bush beat him. Beat the most electable guy the Democrats
had.
Yeah,
but it wasn't an outright beating, was it?
It was a win.
It was a 3% margin.
Excuse me.
This is not an outright mandate by any stretch of the imagination.
Win.
Now, we also have some pretty underhanded, you know, typical Republican tactics where they're using lightning rod issues like gay marriage in order to take the focus away from the things that are really important.
You know, after the Super Bowl, the winner gets a trophy whether they win by one point or 20.
Excuse me, you're talking on the host's line?
Sorry.
Eric Nichols excited. I have to agree with Jim. He did win. He won the popular vote. He won the Electoral College. That counts for something. Again, I don't think it's a huge mandate. But I think that the issue is also that, you know, John Kerry... Yes, he was deemed the most electable of the Democratic candidates, but basically I think what it showed was that you cannot win simply running against someone. I mean,
the vote for Democrats, Howard Dean is electable.
Well, the
Democrats can win against Howard Dean.
Should be fun.
Right. I agree with that, Jerry.
I think we have an interesting period.
Because he lost twice. He didn't get the national championship.
Ahead of us now with the DNC, and the possibility of Howard Dean running the DNC might be just what the Democrats need, an outspoken person who's clear about his opinions, who doesn't
someone
back
who's
down.
Someone who's going to kick butt. Let's say it.
That's right.
I'm really beginning to wonder why Democrats are so wimpish.
It took you so long.
I think they're recognizing that now we've got Howard in.
The wimp word came out during the Reagan administration. I don't understand. I tried to put it in the back. I said, no, they're not wimps. They're just nice people. But, you know, really, Democrats are getting kind of wimpish now. I mean, they're kind of getting like...
Getting wimpish?
Well, they've recognized that. And look at the changes that are taking place in the DNC. This has been taken very seriously, this, you know, who's going to head the DNC and why, because I think there is a general consensus that that's true. You know, they're just not articulating their values and their positions clearly, and that's really hurt the party.
Don't you need an Arnold Schwarzenegger in the DNC?
I think Howard Dean can take Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Now, there's a debate for you.
The Democratic Party has some serious problems right now in that the past 5 years, the only thing they've had to offer is we're not George Bush.
Right.
They need to offer some positive solutions to what they perceive the problems to be and not just say, I'm not George Bush, and I'm against what he's trying to do.
You know, the Republicans were really against Howard Dean because they knew that this was a person who would stand up and speak out.
We wanted Howard Dean to be the Democratic nominee. We were getting
with
all
the pickup
excited.
Truck, too?
Huh?
With the pickup truck,
too? Yeah, Mark Warner pickup truck, too. But, we were excited about Dean being the Democratic nominee because we were going to tear him apart.
Oh, yeah, that does protest too loudly. Yeah. They said it, and that right there is a sign that they certainly didn't.
Let's move on before we get a letter from the FCC for sound annoyance. Emily Leffler is with us. She's independent. James Farmley, Republican. And Steve Wilson, always a pleasure, Steve.
Thank you.
Sitting in for Nicholas Sarwak. I'm sure Pat and Alexandra will call up, or not call up today. Libertarian and Eric Mickelson, Green Party. We don't hear much from you guys anymore. What happened? What do you want, Ralph Nader back or what? What do you mean, you have to kick them out?
Well,
that's okay. You have enough to say. Patrice McKinney, who's a Democrat, and certainly I mentioned everybody. Telephone number 301-230-0980, #980 in the Verizon Wireless System here with our first Sunday political debate. And we certainly want you to get on the phone, flood the phones. Everybody's happy in America because George Bush looks good. He's doing so wonderful, and he's coming with these great ideas on reform. And furthermore, I think George Bush, I mean, he really looked good after the elections in Iraq. We killed about 10,000 people, but we got good elections. Am I right, Jim?
Oh, we didn't kill about 10,000 people. The terrorists have certainly killed a lot of people.
We didn't kill anybody?
Also,
We didn't kill anybody?
We did, but...
What about the little children?
You know,
during
World War II to defeat the Nazis, we killed some people, too. When you fight
Germans.
A just war... Unfortunately, people die, and
Jim,
we try to keep it as low as
possible.
Jim,
I'm not talking about World War II.
Fauna, would you have said not to fight World War II because civilians died too? You fight Iraq because it's the right thing to do.
Wasn't our enemy Al-Qaeda?
Our enemy are folks who want to kill us. And Saddam Hussein falls into
that. Haven't we created an environment where our
I know the Democrats have a hard time seeing the broad picture.
Excuse me, my favorite statement. We can sing together, but... Janet and Vianna, good morning.
Good morning, Jerry. How are you?
Fine. Thanks for calling.
Okay. Well, I'm going to do this real quick because I know I don't have a lot of time. First of all, I don't think George Bush is doing all this wonderful stuff that everybody's saying he's doing. I mean, I don't think his approval rating is all that great. I mean, less than 50%. That's really bad. First of all, you know, he wants me to take care of my own Social Security. I've been working 30 years. I have saved literally squat. And now he's going to give me my retirement to play with? I don't think so. I want them to handle it because even though I'm not going to have a lot of it whenever I get older, at least I'll have some of it. Secondly, he's not doing well in Iraq. I mean, good. Okay, they had elections. We're not going to find out until December if this thing actually worked. As far as going to Iraq, okay, we've been doing wonderful things in Iraq. We still have starving children here. We still have children here who do not have health care. We have adults here who don't have health care, who don't have jobs. I don't think his approval rating is all that great. Maybe he's got a nice, cushy job. He's the only one that does.
Okay, Janet, don't leave me. Hold on the line, okay?
Okay.
All right, let's get Reese in Fairfax to answer to that. And good morning, Reese.
No, I'm not going to answer to that. I'm going to respond to a couple of things that I heard earlier. I feel sorry for is it Jim?
The Republican? Yes, that would be Jim.
These idiots, these nitwits talking about civilian deaths in war. My gosh. You go back to, if you have any kind of historical perspective past MTV, you'll see that people get killed in war. We went in there, and the voting last week shows what we did was correct. And these people are so thankful that we did. It's not being reported on. Secondly, I would love to have more say, just like the Senate and the House does. Right now, they are able to decide where their Social Security payments go. They're already doing it. Anybody in the House and the Senate votes against that, they're hypocrites because they're already doing it now, enjoying it now.
Janet?
I don't think Bush is doing everything right. No president ever does. No president ever does exactly in everything they say that they're going to do in the State of the Union speech.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
However, the fact is that it's now through practice, i.e. those elections. He only wants to allow us to invest 4% of the money that we put away in, and it's not being put away now in Social Security. Come on, get serious.
What a great listener.
Janet, hold tight, Reese. Let's get somebody else in on this. Janet, you want to respond?
Well, okay, I don't know I will admit I don't know the whole brunt of what he wants to do with Social Security. But I think there's a better way to do it than to put it in my hand or to give it to Wall Street and say, oh, we're gonna do it this way. I think there's a better way to do it. I'm not sure what that way is, but I think for one thing, I think the Senate and Congress ought to also be on Social Security, because I bet if they had money taken out of their pay for Social Security, they would have this thing fixed so quick if they had to depend on the Social Security instead of those big retirement benefits they get by being in Congress.
Okay, thanks, Janet. Thank you very much, Reese. Appreciate your input. Let's go to my man, Eric, first. I'll go around the table. Eric?
I just want to address the Social Security issue. And again, there are already ways for you to tax-free invest your money, IRAs, 401ks. The Social Security is intended as a sort of a last-ditch amount of money that people would have for a retirement plan. It's not something to be played with to the whims of the market.
Is FDR turning over in his grave?
He is turning over his grave, and I applaud the caller that feels capable of managing his own retirement funds individually, but there are a large percentage of people who would not be able to buy into or manage this market system well. We'll go back to the days before Social Security where we had a large percentage of seniors living in poverty.
Emily!
Let's talk about one of the inaccuracies, one of the half-truths that the president mentioned in the State of the Union. He mentioned, as our caller did, the thrift savings plans that federal employees have access to. What the president did not mention is that this is in addition to Social Security, not instead of. This is an extra saving plan, just like people have 401ks and IRAs. This is not something that these folks invest in instead of Social Security.
Exactly.
And that's an important distinction. The other thing here...
One is a retirement plan and the other is a supplemental.
Exactly. And the other thing to look at here is to remember, even if folks decide to invest in these personal accounts... That's a gamble. For everybody that wins and makes out better than they would have with Social Security, there are going to be people that lose. And the government is going to have to come up with money to invest in anti-poverty programs, just like they have in other countries that have done this, to provide another safeguard for these people, because we're, in essence, doing away with Social Security.
The politicians are on deck. Jim Pomeroy, the Republican, Steve Wilson, Libertarian, Independent, Emily Loeffler, along with the Patrice McKinney, Democrat, and Eric Nicholson, Green Party. Pat in Alexandria is on the line.
I couldn't let you get by with that. I absolutely couldn't let you get by with that one, Jerry.
Good morning, Pat.
And I'm so glad Mr. Pomeroy has found his happy place.
Oh, ooh.
Yes, it's called Red State America.
This is the most divided. You talk about United States now.
I was doing fine until Iraq came up.
Oh boy,
I was doing really well until that came up.
Mm-hmm.
I find the absolute arrogance of going into a country under false pretenses. And they were false, guys. There was absolutely no weapons of mass destruction. There was no gas. There was nothing. Of course, I'm willing to accept the Republican guess that maybe he shipped it to Iran, but I doubt it that that happened. And quite frankly, Mr. Formley, over 1,500 dead for an unnecessary war is a little bit ridiculous. Just a little bit ridiculous.
Let me ask, Pat, how do you think the elections went, in Iraq went?
I think you're going to have a Shiite majority going in, and I think you're going to end up with a theocracy that's going to be hand-to-hand with Iraq. And then what are we going to do?
But if it does work out...
Are we going to follow what the president said, and the next place we go is Syria? Because, hell, we've got the guys over there already. We can just put them in the Humvees and go over the border.
But don't you find some value in introducing a free and fair election to that region of the world?
If you think this is free and fair, Mr. Pomeroy, you had better go back to your happy place.
Well, I think it was free and fair. The UN thinks it was free and fair, and the Iraqis think it was free and fair. What wasn't free or fair about it?
Let's talk about the UN involvement with oil for food, and then let's take their opinion.
Well, okay, if you want to, I mean...
Let's just do that one, shall we? Let's just say,
I'm not going to defend the oil for food program. I don't think it went well at all.
Because then you'd really go past your happy place.
Well, no, I'll tell you, the elections, though, I think were miraculous. And you actually had Iraqis, standing up in the face of people trying to kill them to come out and vote.
You also had a total of 1,800 people in a Sunni town of Ramadi of over 400,000 who went to the polls because they were terrified.
Okay.
Wake up and smell the coffee.
And let's celebrate those who came
Excuse
out to vote.
You're talking on Pat's outline. Okay. Go ahead, Pat.
No, I just said wake up and smell the coffee.
That's right.
What we've done there is a false democracy. I don't even give it 3 years. I really don't. And quite frankly, I've got a young man coming home on Tuesday who's eligible for a Purple Heart, which he didn't have to have. And as far as Social Security, as I said last week, the first private offering will be Halliburton stock.
Oh, boy.
So y'all have a good time. Jerry, have a lovely day, dear.
Thank you, Pat.
Bye.
Oh, my goodness. I just think my $2 will go to Halliburton. Oh, my goodness.
There you go. You know what I think is rather interesting, Mr. Parmalee, is that generally the United Nations ranks just below Al-Qaeda with the Republican Party. And now you're quoting the United Nations saying that they're the election went well. You know, which way is it with the United Nations? Either they back
quickly,
you up or you dislike them.
When the United Nations and George Bush are in agreement, something must be right.
And the Red Sox won the World Series, too.
And we have red states and blue states, and that's the United States. Let's talk to Jim in California, Maryland. I love it. Jim, good morning.
Good morning. How are you today?
Fine, my friend. Thanks for calling.
Good. I just got a couple of comments that I'd like to make.
Mm-hmm.
Just about 90% of the Democrats in the Senate said that they would have gone to war with the same information that President Bush had at the time. After the war started, more information came out, which they now said, oh, no, we wouldn't have done that. You can't flip-flop like that. Make up your mind, go with it. Once you've made up your mind, continue to go with the decision. The 1,500 people that have died over in Iraq, we lose more than that in vehicle accidents in California every year due to alcohol.
Not California, Maryland now.
No, not California. Okay. California's the state.
All right.
You want to get over a crusade, why don't you get on something such as alcoholism in vehicles?
Okay.
As far as the Social Security is concerned,
mm-hmm.
it sounds like some people are afraid to take on a little bit of personal responsibility and take care of themselves.
Okay. Jim, thanks very much. Jim has answered some of the arguments that we've had here this morning. And with that, I want to move the agenda to another phase. And that is, the phase about Maryland politics. Who has the best chance to fill Doug Duncan's shoes in Montgomery County and the executive? As you know, there are two people running, Ike Leggett as well as Steve Stevenson.
Silverman.
This is going to be a kind of a battle. And already Doug Duncan on Channel 4 last week said, hands off, I'm just looking at it. I like both guys, but you can't have both in the same office.
That's right. But
talk to the Democrats about it.
Clearly, when you look at the polls, Jerry, O'Malley's got, you know, definitely the lead over Duncan. In fact, Ehrlich has something to be afraid of.
That's for the gubernatorial race.
That's for the gubernatorial race, mm-hmm. Right. But when you're looking at the executive, the race for executive, you've got Ike Leggett and Steve Silverman, two very well-known
and liked names
in Montgomery County. Both have a great history and have done a lot. And what you're going to see is a very expensive race shaping up.
Okay. How does it look to you? Very quickly, Eric.
Well, I know, I think Isaiah Leggett is the head of the Maryland Democratic Party. He's got a lot of name recognition. It seems like could be a possible...
Could it come down to over ICC?
You know, I just want to say he's not currently the head chair. Terry Lehrman is He was a former chair.
Well, looking at this from a national perspective, Jerry, the Democrats want to get another Democrat back in this seat. They want to take this seat back from the Republicans, and they're going to put the person in there that has the most name recognition. Again, we come back to electability, and that's going to be Martin O'Malley so far.
Right, exactly. Well, I'm just saying.
Sure.
Governor
Ehrlich has been doing a wonderful job, and I think it's going to be a very interesting gubernatorial race in Maryland.
Well, he vetoed everything.
He's doing excellent. Yeah, when you veto bad things,
got the doctors up there watching. Students at Maryland University are ready to ambush him at the gate.
Don't get me started on the doctors. They kept changing their mind back and forth and back and forth. They're not well served by their lobbying organization.
Doctors always do that. Always change their mind. We, you know, listen in next week. We'll talk to the doctors.
Now, Montgomery County running for county executive, whoever gets a Democratic nomination will end up being the county executive.
Right.
And as far as that goes, Ike Leggett has it. Steve Silverman has a long way to go.
Let me put another thing in the pot here and switch over to the river, over the Potomac to Virginia. And that is Mark Warner. You know, his time is growing very, very short. Why do you hit your fist when I talk?
I was getting revved up for this topic.
My goodness. Violence in the Republican corner.
Super Bowl Sunday.
The question here is, what is Mark Warner's future? Is the governor going to be on a national ticket? Is he positioning himself for that? Eric Nicholson, Green Party.
Well, his name was mentioned even during the last race. He's one of those southern Democrats who some Democrats, I guess, feel will be able to reach out to folks in those southern red states. I have my doubts.
Steve Wilson, Libertarian.
He's going to have to try and establish his name beyond the Mid-Atlantic area if he has national aspirations.
Emily Loeffler, independent.
That's true. And again, looking at strategy, he is a moderate Southern Democrat, and the Democrats are trying to figure out how they're going to pull themselves up by their bootstraps next time, so he may be a viable candidate.
And I'll ask the Democrat.
Well, Jerry, unemployed Southern governors have done well in presidential races.
Well, I don't know now. Where's the guy? Yeah, that's true. And Jim Pomeroy, he's your governor.
What is shocking is that the Democrats are calling someone a moderate who is the largest tax-increasing governor in the history of the Commonwealth of Virginia, someone who promised when he ran he would not raise taxes, has raised taxes each and every year of his term, breaking his promise. He promised to finish the car tax cut. He broke his promise on that. If Mark Warner is a moderate, then we have really seen how far the Democratic Party has gone to the left.
Yeah, but just remember this. The governor can't raise taxes on his own. The Republican General Assembly had to go along with it over
absolutely.
There.
Absolutely. Mark Warner has shown himself to be a person that can work both sides of the aisle, and he got the buy-in of the Republicans.
They got the buy-in of 20% of the Republicans in Richmond, and that was enough. You took a united Democratic majority.
A buy-in's a buy-in, a win's a win. Didn't we establish that earlier today?
You're right. Mark Warner won the fight for higher taxes, and if he runs for president, we will remind him of that from state to state.
He was able to balance the budget.
The word...
Fiscal responsibility is what the Democrats stand for today. The Republicans, no spending, no programs, no safety nets.
What I love about this segment, retaliation. John in Franconia, good morning.
Hi, Jerry.
Yes.
I'd like to comment on two subjects.
My friend. Go right ahead.
And Social Security. First, Iraq. We had the top third of the country covered, the bottom third of the country covered. To the right was Iran, who had a war with Saddam, and he killed countless thousands of Iranians. To the left is Israel. I mean, we had them covered. Right now, we've got 1,500 boys killed. We got countless wounded. In Vietnam, we had, I'm 61. I was drafted in 65.
Mm-hmm.
We have 60,000 precious lives lost. For what? For McNamara to now say it was a mistake. I can see Rumsfeld 20 years from now saying, well, you know, it's a mistake. We earned our own freedom in a revolution. If those people aren't willing to fight and get rid of Saddam, why do our boys have to die?
Mm-hmm.
And we had them covered, and Bush wouldn't give them time, the UN, to go in there and do their thing. We could have monitored that, saved all these lives, $400 billion of money. That's my Iranian, my Iraqi thing. Social Security. We got a situation where he's going around screaming bloody murder about the danger of this. You know, there's an article, several articles in the paper about these columnists. One said that this tax cut that he wants to make permanent, that would fund Social Security for 75 years. In fact, it said that if just people that make $350,000 a year didn't get a tax cut, that would make Social Security solvent for the foreseeable future. These are people whose sons go to college, never see a day. It's the poor boys down in Washington, D.C. or West Virginia that haven't got a chance in economically in life that end up getting killed over there. So he's screaming. He's doing the same thing with Social Security that he's done with Iraq. I mean, it just doesn't make sense. All they got to do, you can't cut taxes and spend $400 billion for a war. You know, I mean, if you don't have money coming into your home, how are you going to have money coming, spending money? And listen, I'm from Franconia, Virginia. My name is John Donner. I want to go on record for that. Anybody that's listening, because I'm outraged, and that's what I've got to say. And I'd like for you all to comment about it.
And, John, you stay with us because we'll be talking about this for days to come, buddy.
Yes, sir.
Okay. I'll go to Jim Pomeley. Stay on the line, John, because Jim Pomeley wants to answer.
I was going to say that this is probably a good time to remind everybody that President Roosevelt, when Social Security was set up, foresaw in the future having personal accounts, talked about having personal accounts that they'd be necessary about 40 years into the program. So we're behind schedule on what FDR wanted in the first place.
That was his projection, and his projection didn't necessarily mean that it was a right projection.
Well, I thought because the Democrats over here thought FDR was right on everything.
No, not Bush. No, in the Bush.
And President Kennedy supported tax cuts. So there are some Democrats, some ideas.
Thank you very much for calling. I appreciate your call. And let's talk to Glenda in D.C. Glenda, good morning. She dropped off. Okay. We have a few more minutes, folks. If you want to jump on the line and get your 2 cents in, that's fine with us at 301-230-0980, #980, the Verizon Wireless System. This morning with our first Sunday political roundtable, and we have Jim Pomeley, Steve Wilson, Emily Leffler, Patrice McKinney, Eric Mickelson. Eric Mickelson, I have a question to ask you.
Please do, Jerry.
Is Tony Pepperoni, Anthony Williams, the mayor of the District of Columbia. I mean, after the snafu that has come out about baseball, I, in the press conference, went, we're not spending your money. We find out later that $250,000 went out to consultants to convince the people living in D.C. that baseball's the right thing to have. And in addition to that, the signatures, Martha Stewart. I mean, you know, Martha Stewart and who else? Prince? And Queen Elizabeth on the signatures for his petitions to be reelected.
Is he
in trouble?
You know, Jerry, that was one of the few issues that we've had here where there was near consensus. I think Jim may have wavered a little bit, but most of us oppose the public funding of that private stadium as a corporate giveaway. I think that, you know, the next election could very well be a referendum on the mayor's decision.
And everybody supporting the mayor lost. Let's talk to Glenda. Because of our timing, guys, I will go around the table later. Glenda, good morning. I lost Glenda. Okay, let's go to Chris in Leesburg. Good morning, Chris.
Good morning. I was just calling. I just listened to another caller from Virginia call in talking about $350,000, you know, if they didn't get the tax breaks, then Social Security would be solvent. It's kind of scary when you start listening to a lot of the Democratic Party, you know, with what they say with the higher wage earners. I make six figures, and you know, I'm a single father.
Okay, real quick, sir, my timing.
At what point do we cross over into socialism?
Oh,
because that's what we hear on our side all the time.
Okay, thank you very much.
All right.
I don't think we're talking about socialism. I think we're talking about the fact that anybody in this country pays Social Security on $90,000, the first $90,000 that they make. When you make over $90,000, you don't pay Social Security after that. So I think we're talking about equal tax rates, not a lower tax rate for the rich. And this will provide the money that will fix Social Security.
Suzanne in Waldorf, Maryland, good morning. You got about 20 seconds.
Good morning. Thank you. I just retired Thursday from the federal government. I have a part-time job, two part-time jobs, to try to get the rest of my quarters in Social Security. I don't know why, because when I get old enough to collect it, it's probably not going to be there. Before they go dorking around with Social Security that might need some corrections, why don't they set up some kind of a retirement plan for these senators and representatives that have no retirement? They do not pay into any retirement other than Social Security, but they have a permanent retirement system, even if they just serve a four-year term. It's the best retirement system in the United States. So why don't they set up a retirement system for that?
Okay, thank you very much. The rich get richer and the poor get... Moving right ahead, I want to thank our guests this morning for being with us. You have a word for that, Jim. Jim Pomeroy, Republican. Steve Wilson, Libertarian. Emily Leffler, Independent. Patrice McKinney, Democrat, and Eric Mickelson, Green Party. Thank you very much. Good debate. Next month, you coming back?
Absolutely.
Okay. Thank you very much. I love those Republicans. They love the return. Next week, the tax man cometh. Be sure to be with us. And February is hot month. The doctors will be here with Doctor's Call. And our special feature next week will be on education. I want to thank those who helped to put it together. Certainly, Steve Solomon is our technical producer. Carolina Restrepo is our research and administrator. Shaheen, our public affairs associate. Lee Sorkin is our American University journalism intern. Written and produced by yours truly, Jerry Phillips. Metro Talk is a WBIG and WTEM Sports Talk 980 public affairs presentation. From Clear Channel Radio in Washington, D.C., my friend, today is Super Bowl Sunday. And if you don't like the Super Bowl parties, you can go to New Orleans for the Mardi Gras. And if you can't stand that, go to Brazil because they're having Carnival. It's Party Sunday. What can I say? Love you. Peace.